Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, Blood River Radio family, we're back after a short break there. I think Jason Robb did an excellent job in the first hour, that the first 20 minutes or so. It took me that long to go through these points. We started back in the 1860s with the first drug wars. But anyway, we're fast-forwarding to the second hour. I'd like to mention something else I mentioned in the first hour. I'd like to repeat myself, that Rich and Janice Hamblin, they just came back yesterday or day before yesterday from South Africa. They spent the Christmas holidays in South Africa over there visiting Simon Roach. They're a big friend of his, big friends, and they went over there and they toured. They sent me all kinds of photographs. Africa is beautiful over there. I think they're in their summertime right now, but all kinds of wildlife. You wouldn't believe the wildlife, but I'm glad they made it back okay. And also keep Will Franklin in your prayers, for people. Make that announcement again. He's really sick. I don't know. I've got to call him after the show, but keep him in mind. Anyway, second hour here. I'm really excited. We have Brother Paul Fromm. We sent him some articles. She probably already knew. And we have my little sister, Monica Braveheart Schaefer, coming out. They're going to be doing this thing because most of this is about Canada. Because like I remarked on the first hour, Canada, if it's like some of these videos I'm watching, some of the news articles I'm seeing, Canada is kind of melting down. Not as bad as, thank God, not as bad as the EU. But it's getting pretty bad there, and it's getting bad. Well, just anywhere in the white world, it's getting really bad. But this is going to be mainly, we have two Canadians here. And we're going to talk about some of the horrible crap going on in Canada. So I'm going to pretty much bow out of the way. I did drop my napalm the first hour with Jason Robb. And so we're going to bring on Paul Fromm and Monica Schaefer. This is Paul. You can lead off. And if you and Sister Monica, let the people know what's going on in Canada. So how you doing, Paul?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks, Eddie. And Happy New Year. You suggested something to me from American Free Press, and although it's not about Canada, I think it's very important. It's an article about a meeting between the U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, former Governor Huckabee, and Jonathan Pollard. And for those without a long memory, Jonathan Pollard was a notorious Jewish traitor. He was a spy for Israel, you know, America's best ally, the betrayal was probably worse than the betrayal of two other Jews, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, back in the late 40s and early 50s. They betrayed significant portions of the American atomic bomb project. They passed on this information to the Russians, which gave the Russians a huge boost. Well, anyway, Pollard, some of the things he revealed are still classified, but we know he revealed the key to accessing U.S. communications and information gathering systems, which gave the Jewish state access to all U.S. intelligence as it was being collected. Get that? So access to the to American communications in such a way that the Israelis could read U.S. intelligence as it became available. Incredible. His treachery cost the death of a large number of U.S. assets and agents in other parts of the world. and the Israelis sold some of the secrets he revealed to other powers. The Israelis are not America's friends, despite what the neocons and, unfortunately, some of the religious folks like to believe. And Pollard was probably the most dangerous spy ever. There were others whose betrayal did cost a lot, but he was a major, major spy. Ambassador Huckabee would meet him. Is a scandal. It's shocking. This is the problem with something that the Jewish lobby always says is a trope. I've never quite figured out what a trope was exactly. In French, it's easy. Trope means too much, but I know it has a different meaning in English. It's part of the jargon they use in criticizing those who criticize Jews. Trope. Whenever you see that word, it's usually Jewish propaganda. But anyway, the trope is that Jews have dual loyalty. Well, let's be fair and say many Jews have dual loyalty. In fact, in the case of Jonathan Pollard, he had no loyalty to the United States, the country he grew up in, the country which nurtured him, and his loyalty was to a foreign state, and that was Israel. And the information that got out did incalculable damage to America's interests, and that the American ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, would go and visit this traitor. For any purpose other than to put a bullet through his head, it's disgusting. He should be recalled. He's not, he may be an ambassador for some of the more wackadoodle. Israel is the fulfillment of God's vision, people, but he doesn't represent the United States. At least I hope to God he doesn't.
Hello, Paul. I'm just going to interject. This is Monica here. I'm going to say thank you for bringing that to our attention about Jonathan Pollard, and you're absolutely right. I mean, if he is a traitor, which he is only in the sense of a traitor to the United States, a traitor to the Americans, he's being perfectly loyal to his tribe, because that's what they... You know, he would be considered to be doing the right thing according to his tribe of people, the Jews. But anyway, he should have been dealt with as traitors have always been dealt with, and that would be, you know, to be hung or shot. And so you're absolutely right that he should not be current. You know, he's given current standing, I guess, if he's meeting with Ambassador Huckabee, and you're saying that's current.
Oh yeah, this news is recent. It's out of the current edition, current issue of American Free Press. This is an ancient history. The other thing, though, about 10 years ago, when Mike Huckabee was running for or was seeking the Republican nomination for president, he never made it. But I saw some good things in Huckabee, and I might be wrong, but. I see him quite often on an ad that runs endlessly on Fox, and it's from the Council of Christians and Jews, and it always starts with conditions for Holocaust survivors in the former Soviet Union, sometimes they say the Ukraine, are unbelievable. And here's some poor old babushka, she's 96, and she says, "My father was killed by the Nazis. I was an orphan, and I never knew God." And she's got what looks like a filth bucket. This is wheat, so we're told, and water, and that's all she had to eat today. And she says, "I don't know, something has happened, I will not. Let's see. I will not be able to plant my food. I am doomed to starve." And the idea is you send $25, and this Christian bishop and some Jewess deliver a care package to her. And she says, oh, my favorite food. And, you know, it's enough to melt the heart of a stone, but not the heart of somebody with a brain. I mean, it is so phony baloney, and I don't know where you start. Wait a second. If these are Holocaust survivors, they're on the take from Germany. Germany has funneled billions of dollars. I guess we'll conclude and continue after the break.
And with that, I'm glad you heard the music, Paul. We will be right back, folks. When we come back, I'll make a couple of quick comments. We go right back to Sister Monica. Be right back, folks.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with managed IT services.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to just chip in a few little points here, and then we'll go right back to Sister Monica. I believe that will be her turn. A fellow named Sheldon Adelson. A Jew by the name of Sheldon Adelson. He's deceased now. He was a billionaire casino owner. His current widow, Miriam Adelson, who gave, what was it, $200 million, $500 million to $100 million. It was hundreds of millions of dollars to the Donald Trump's campaign. Anyway, when this Jonathan Pollard was letting out of prison, he should have been shot. He should have been shot for treason. He most certainly should have. Sheldon Adelson, the billionaire Jew, flew Jonathan Pollard to Israel from the United States, flew him over there, and he's looked at, Pollard is looked at and treated as a national hero in Israel, our finest ally in the Mideast. And get this, during this meeting that Pollard had with Huckabee, he said that he encourages all Jews living in America that have the ability to spy for Israel, to spy on the United States that are in sensitive areas. I think Jonathan Pollard worked for the United States Navy and got some of their secrets. But he said, I encourage you to do like I did, to spy on America for the benefit of Israel. Take that, you Southern Baptist crackpots. And I mean, I can't imagine anybody still supporting these damn Jews. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Well, this underlines why Jews should never, ever be in any positions of government or positions of influence. Adolf Hitler did exactly the right thing when he came to power. Yes. The Jews were put out of positions of influence. So out of the media, out of government, they are very good. Like Adelson is a very good Jew. Pollard is a very good Jew for the Jews, just to be perfectly clear. And if you are a good Jew for the Jews, then you are absolutely a blight to humanity. You are a parasite to the rest of humanity. And they are like, well, that's it. They are a parasite. And so for us, they are complete traitors. And yes, they if they have been traitors and they have been in positions of government in our countries, whether it's United States or Canada or our nations, then they should be treated as all traitors have always been treated, and that is to be executed, hung or shot. I think hanging is the traditional treatment for traitors. So that's what my comment is. But he's being an excellent Jew for the Jews. So they yes. are simply not compatible with us. So that's my comment on that.
And before we go to Paul, I'm going to make this quick comment. I'll go be stronger than Paul. Maybe I'm not as cultured, but I think Huckabee should be shot for treason too. The son of a bitch met with a spy who is responsible for God only knows how many Americans being killed. Huckabee, your ass should be shot. I say that. I really believe that in the bottom of my heart, he should be shot for treason. Go ahead, Paul.
Are we back on the air?
We have been, yes.
Sir. Yes. Okay. I was talking about this Council of Christians and Jews and the shakedown for Christians about the Holocaust survivors in the Soviet Union, and they're very aged and they're so poor and so on, there's so many holes in that grift. Number one, they would all be entitled to continuing payoffs. From Germany, and all the Holocaust survivors have gotten aboard that gravy train. So it's just not believable that they're hideously poor. So, secondly, if they're in the Ukraine, and sometimes the ad says they are, or sometimes it's the former Soviet Union, but if they're in the Ukraine, there's a Jewish president of the Ukraine. I mean, Canada doesn't have enough money for our decent armed forces, but we have spent billions on the Ukraine. Well, why not give a little bit of money to his own suffering people? And then, thirdly, this Council of Christians and Jews. Well, where are the Jews? I mean, it's their people. Why don't they take care of their own people? I have trouble believing anything in that ad, but Mike Huckabee comes on and in a number of the ads and adds to this, he endorses it, and it really is shocking. He comes on with the credential that he's the U.S. ambassador to Israel, and here he is, begging for $25 to give these people a care package, and I don't find a thing in that whole ad that's believable, and I find it embarrassing to see it over and over and over again. It has several different versions, but it's always the same bottom line. I see it over and over again on Fox News. I find it disgusting, and I find it disgusting that Huckabee would be part of such a thing. As ambassador, even if he believes in that, as an ambassador, he ought to be above, hollering for dollars.
Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah. I don't have much to add to that. Again, these Jews in government positions shouldn't be there. That is, unfortunately, the Jews are overwhelmingly who are occupying the government. They are. I mean, that's what we have to get rid of, and how we're going to do that, I'm not sure exactly right now. Sorry, I was just distracted there, but go ahead. Back to you.
They complain bitterly of the accusation of dual loyalty, or maybe not dual loyalty, no loyalty to the host country. And that would not apply to all of them. I'm quite ready to admit that, but you never hear any apologies. You don't hear the American, ADL or B'nai B'rith or the Friends of the Simon the Weasel Center or whatever apologizing and denouncing Paula for betraying their host country, the United States. They're quite silent on that. And then if you have concerns about dual loyalty, as Hitler has and many others, the Romans had their problems with them, the business of maybe not loyalty to the emperor, and that's all the Romans require, that you be loyal to the emperor. You could have your own religion, you could have your own language and culture, but they asked for that. The Romans, in their literature, had a lot of problems with the lack of loyalty, and all the way through, it became such a problem in Spain that King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella in 1492 expelled the Jews and the Muslims from Spain. And then, unfortunately, the Queen Isabella relented and said, well, if Jews converted, they could stay. Well, it's hard to know, if a person says, I've changed my mind, I used to be this religion, now I'm that. But let's put it this way. A lot of the conversos never really did convert. And it's a huge problem. In fact, if she had not been soft-hearted or soft-headed, what she should have done is said, that's really good. Glad you want to convert, but you go back to wherever you came from in North Africa or whatever and spread the Christian faith there. But you're not going to stay in Spain. And the failure to do that created a lot of problems.
That 1489 letter, when the Jews were being kicked out, I'm sure it didn't just, like 1492 is the date that it culminated, but I'm sure that it was in the works for a while. But I think that was a 1489 letter to the Grand Sanhedrin in Constantinople. Oh, what should we do, us poor Jews? And then the Grand Constantinople wrote, or the Grand Satrap, I should say, from Constantinople wrote back, and, with the advice to the Jews and had various points, make your sons doctors and apothecaries so you may take the lives bit by bit of the Gentiles and make them merchants so you may defraud them bit by bit and convert if you must. But always keep the law of Moses close to your heart, meaning stay Jewish underneath the veil, so to speak. Be pretend, crypto-Jews, I guess they call it, the conversos. And there were various more. Make them priests, make your sons priests as well, so that you may invade their churches, etc., etc. There were, I think, six different points like that. They redid their vows 400 years later, I do believe, in 1889, this vow to kind of reinforce that this is what they should do, and that is exactly what they did do. So converting, they didn't convert, not really, not in their hearts.
We have to go to our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back. I'll make a comment or two when we come back. And people, this is going to be a long break, so you have plenty of time to get some coffee, use the restroom if you'd like to do something like that. But don't be over about 4.5 minutes. Be right back, folks.
Go down. How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. There is a new warning for protesters in Iran, Lisa Dwyer reports.
Iran's attorney general is warning that anyone taking part in anti-government protests will be considered an enemy of God, a charge that in Iran is punishable by the death penalty. Despite Iran cutting the nation off from the internet and international telephone calls, short online videos are being shared by activists. They say show protesters chanting against Iran in the streets of Tehran. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Protests in Iran have continued despite threats from the government to crack down. Online videos show demonstrators protesting Friday night, even after authorities shut down the internet and cut the phone lines. Dr. Michael Oren, an expert on the Middle East, he believes that Iran's leadership is on the verge of being overthrown.
Iran's not coming back. They've now just lost this ally in Venezuela. They've lost Syria. They've lost Lebanon. They've lost Gaza. What's left? What's left for this regime? Not much. And the quicker it goes, the better.
Dr. Oren made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. President Trump working Friday to secure some $100 billion worth of U.S. investment in kickstarting Venezuela's oil capacity.
And the people of the United States are going to be big beneficiaries because we're going to be extracting, you know, numbers of, in terms of oil, like, you know, few people have ever seen, actually.
Venezuela has the world's largest proven reserves of crude oil, but capacity has been severely diminished over the past 20 years. Economist Steve Moore says under President Trump's leadership, there's a fascinating economic phenomenon quietly unfolding across the globe.
A Trumpian revolution is going to happen all over the world, and that's what we're seeing. You've seen it in Italy. You've seen it in Chile. You've seen it in Argentina. You know, there's no reason that Venezuela and these South American countries can't be rich again.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Your Blood Rip Radio family, I'd like to thank you again for holding on. I'd like to thank you for your prayers because my little brother Rich Hamblin and his sister Janice got back safely from South Africa. I was kind of on pins and needles. That's a wild place over there. I kind of worried about it, but they're back home safely. Been back home a couple of days. So we're glad that they're listening. I'd like to let them know we're glad they're back. And also like to tell people to please pray for Will Franklin. He's been very sick. I'll have to try to communicate with him after the program. People, I'd like to make a comment or two before we come back. We're talking about this dual loyalty that the Israelis have, Jews have. Maybe not every single one, but here in the United States where I live, it's not dual loyalty. It's single loyalty. They have to. They're Israel. The Israel where you have to. It's a country just for Jews, just for Jews. Nobody but Jews. But we are not allowed to have a country like that just for Christians. Nothing but Christians. That's for damn sure. Or not for just white people. But they can have theirs. And you can see this single loyalty all over the United States, all over Memphis, where I live. We have some of these Hebrew schools, Jewish schools, whatever you call it, in their synagogues. And every single one of them, you'll see they'll have the American flag, that rag. I consider the so-called American flag, birdcage liner. But anyway, they'll have that flying, and they'll have their Star of David flying at the equal. It's not below the flag like you see at the Baptist churches, the Methodist churches. You know, there's sycophants for the Yankee flag, but they'll have their Jew flag flying at least as high, and sometimes I believe it's actually higher than American flag. But these so-called these rabid MAGA people never complain about that at all. They just let it go. So, and you'll see that at all the Jewish schools and their temples, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, Paul, there's some things. I think I sent you a video, and you probably knew about it anyway, you and Monica and Kelly, about how things are kind of, I hope they're not as bad in Canada as some of these videos I saw. One video I sent, I listened to a lady. She left Canada, and she's in Costa Rica now. She said no power on earth would get her back to Canada. She said they were being taxed to oblivion, their children were being taught to hate themselves, on and on and on. You know the drill, Paul and Sister Monica. But, Paul, would you like to take off on that? Tell us about maybe switching gears and tell us about what's going on there in Canada now. Paul finally says the former Great White North. Was that video, was that woman exaggerating, Paul? Or fill us in on about that, brother.
Well, yes and no. I have on a number of occasions been urged or prodded, well, why don't you go to a better country like or Costa Rica, and there are other suggestions, Mexico. Anyway, there are problems with all those. I'm just ornery enough to say my family has been in Canada for 350 years. On my mother's side, we were here in 1650. We were among the original French settlers. This is my country. I want to get rid of the invaders. I don't want to give up and beetle off to a beach in Costa Rica, nice as it might be, not knocking anybody else's country. But okay, I hear two stories. One is the story you're reporting to me, and the woman's absolutely right. There's I'm on one of these sort of chat groups on Telegram about Canadian expats, and people are fed up with Canada for those reasons: a high taxation, an education system that teaches white kids to hate themselves, have a a rotten self-concept, think they're worthless or people are worthless. We are led by maniacs, at least certainly the Liberal Party, that wants to cripple one of our greatest resources, and that's the oil and natural gas industry. We should be filthy rich. We should be like Abu Bloody Dhabi. We should be, as Huey Long used to say, every man a king. And I don't know if he said that, but every woman a queen. We have the natural wealth there, and we're not using it. We want to save the planet. When I stopped at Tim Hortons here to get a cup of tea, if anybody had said, "Oh boy, it's snowing," I would say right back to them, "Yeah, gosh, it must be global warming." There's plenty to criticize in Canada, and there is the growing threats to freedom of speech and the fact that by government policy, and that's liberal and conservative, the government, successive governments have tried to replace us through mass third world immigration. It's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's out there. There are 5.5 million foreigners, almost all of them non-white, here on visas that have expired. And the present government has no plan to round them up, has no idea whether some of them have left. Some of them probably have left when their visas expired. Those who haven't left, who are they? The government doesn't know. Where are they? The government doesn't know. This is an incompetence. It may be that to a point, but it's an absolute betrayal, because the long-term goal is to replace us. So I can understand that woman wants to go to a place where she's not going to be replaced. On the other hand, I would say, you'll always be a Canadian, but your kids, will they have to be Costa Ricans? That is a major problem I see. The other track or story, the writers, we've got a fairly good paper called the National Post. I sometimes call it the National Jewish Post. While it has good articles on immigration and certain other things, I would say 25% of every issue is moaning and groaning about issues concerning the Jews. And several of the writers, including this blowhard A.B. Ben Lolo, who had some sort of Abraham Accord, something or other, is going on about, and now many Jews no longer feel safe in Canada, and they're thinking of moving elsewhere, to Israel or the United States. There's even a city down in Oklahoma that's trying to attract Jewish refugees down there, and they're saying how unhappy they are in Canada. Well, I would say, if you're unhappy, hit the road, Jack. That's another aspect of a storyline. People wanting to leave Canada, they want to leave, or they claim they want to leave, because there have been some anti-Israeli protests, and they no longer feel so welcome. And the stories verge on the comical. Just before Christmas, there was an incident in Montreal. Montreal has a lot more snow than where I am. There's a big snow drift in front of some Jewish person's home, and somebody had carved a swastika into the snow drift. So the guy calls the cops. The hate squad comes running. So yeah, and they're going to investigate the Swazi. And you think,
and he probably did it himself.
What if somebody? I guess we're a Christian station, so I will sound it out. But if somebody had written F the Prime Minister or something in the snowdrift, I don't think they'd have the hate squad there. I mean, talk about catering to a tiny minority. I mean, if it's a problem, take a shovel and blot out the swastika. But when you can't get the little things right, the big things start to fall. I thought policemen who actually have time to run around to investigate.
It's funny as hell.
Somebody.
What they're gonna do? I was thinking they're gonna outlaw snowmen, because snowmen are gonna become anti-Semitic. I guess you can't build a snowman. The rest of children for being anti-Semitic.
Yeah. I mean, if you put a carrot in the nose, you know, for the song Frosty the Snowman, if you put the carrot in the nose, is that anti-Semitic or only if it's a drooping carrot? I don't know. the pathetic thing is that the authorities would take this seriously. Book them, Dano. Some kid parking a swastika in a snowman.
If they can criminalize us for saying it's okay to be white, then they certainly will criminalize, you know, this symbol that means wealth and prosperity that's been around for thousands of years. And they probably did it themselves because they need anti-Semitism.
Well, folks, we got to go to our last break in the second hour. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll get back to that point as soon as we come back. This is a short break, folks, so don't be late getting back.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for coming on. Thank you for keeping us on the air. We're going to go right back to Brother Paul and Sister Monica. We also have a little lady. Maybe she can just say hello quickly if she wants to. Her name is Kelly. I spoke with her before. She's up there with Paul and Monica, actually, but they're not all three together. But they're up there with Paul, this little Kelly, and what Paul says for the formerly the Great White North. So, Kelly, would you like to make a quick hello to the Blood River Radio family?
Hello, hi everyone. I hope to be interviewing Eddie on my show very soon.
Well, it'd be an honor, be a pleasure.
This
honor.
Station is excellent.
It'd be a pleasure and honor, and I know Sister Monica will be doing that. So, me being the old geezer I am, I'll play the old geezer card and say I don't remember who we go to next. So, Sister Monica,
well,
I guess
we'll just I'll just make a comment about what Paul said regarding, you know, when people say, "Well, why don't you leave?" And people say that all the time to my brother. They say it to, like, "Why don't you leave?" But the point is, where are we leaving to?
Yeah, where are you going to go?
The thing is, all of our Western nations are under attack. The white countries, the formerly white countries, are under attack. Now, you could go to Mexico, but Mexico is not a white country. So we get more and more dispersed and dispersed, and that's exactly playing into the hands of the Jews. No, we stay and fight this. We stay and survive and thrive and make it through this, these turbulent times, and come out the other side. And, you know, yeah, we're going through some very turbulent times, and I think it's very likely going to get worse before it gets better. But if everybody runs away, where are you all running to? You know, that it. So anyway, I'm glad to hear you say that, Paul, that, you know, your family's been there for 350 years here in Canada, settled here. We did not steal this land. That's a that is such a lie that is being told to our people here in Canada. It's just the biggest lie of all. We did not steal anything. And people have moved all over this earth forever. And, you know, if you want to go on that premise of, oh, you know, we took it from the Cherokees, we took it from the Sioux, we took it from the Cree. Guess who was there just before those individual tribes were there where they were when we met them? Some other tribe, or they took the place of some other tribe, they took the place for some other tribe. Were they kind to each other? No, they cannibalized each other. They warred with each other. It is such a myth and a lie to think that they all lived peacefully and harmoniously next to each other and were all so nature-loving and wonderful and wise. Like, this is a lie. You know, I'm not saying there aren't some good people that are happen to also be of, you know, the indigenous. Well, indigenous is not even the right word. I'm indigenous to this country. I was born here. Paul is indigenous. He was born here for many, many, many generations back. But, you know, those who call themselves the Indians or the natives or whatever. But, yeah, so anyway, that's my little rant. Back to you, Paul.
No, and it's so important to nail down those truths. I would go even further. It's probably true that we were here, Europeans were here 20,000 years ago. I won't go into all of it, but
yes.
On the East Coast, Solutrean man, on the West Coast, Kennewick man. And what happened to them? Well, they're not around anymore. Possibly they famine, but very likely they were genocided. We know that within recent historical times, one tribe, native tribe, genocided the other. When the French, when the Catholic priests went to the Hurons up around Midland, Ontario, which is about 100 miles north of Toronto, they had a mission there, and you know, within a few dozen years, the Iroquois Indians attacked and killed them all. Killed all the Hurons. There aren't them anymore. You know, this idea that they were kind, generous, loving people, attuned to the land until the horrible white man came along, is just so much bollocks. It's just not true. We shouldn't feel the slightest scrap of guilt. And the white man, more often than not, tried to do the right thing by the native people.
Yes.
The British were very concerned about proper treaties to protect the native people and so on. And the church in Latin America was the same. They're trying to be fair and just. Did they always succeed? Well, no, but, you know,
right.
we didn't come here as a, you know, as a, you know, Attila the Hun just slaying all before us.
And I'll say, I'll add something. Sorry, Paul, I don't mean to jump in, but I just add to what you just said. There are cases where the Indians moved closer to the white settlements for safety because they were so vicious and cruel to one another and enslaving each other and cannibalizing that they felt safer when they were nearer to the trading post because there was some order. And it wasn't quite as dangerous for themselves to be closer. Now, why would they do that if the only thing that Europeans did was come over and slaughter them, right? So back to you, Paul.
Yeah, there's a meme up on the internet, and it shows a bewildered white guy and a guy with a turban. And the bewildered white guy says, why is it that this fellow who's been in Canada for 3 years as a Canadian, and my family's been in Canada for 200 years, and we're living on stolen land?
Excellent point.
That's it, roughly. It's a very good point.
Yes.
Another example from my part of the country is right after the American Revolution, Chief Joseph Brant and about 7,000 Mohawks who had been loyal to the British came to Canada. Well, it was in those days called Upper Canada or Ontario, my province. But anyway, they came up there. The British said, well, okay, you obviously no longer wanted in the United States. We'll give you shelter and we'll give you land. So a man by the name of General Haldimand in the British Army bought a tract of land. He didn't steal it. He bought it from a tribe of Indians. Bought it. And he gave, that tract of land was about 10 miles on either side of the Grand River, which flows into Lake Erie and goes up about 60, 70 miles. So that was the land given to the Mohawks. Well, where did the tribe that he bought it from get it? Well, about 150 years before, they had genocided another tribe called the Neutrals. That's how that tribe got the land. And General Haldimand bought the land and gave it to the Mohawks. And over the years, they've sold off considerable portions of that. Sold off. Those portions were not stolen. And that is often the way it's gone. There's absolutely no reason for any white person to feel guilt. Rather than these ridiculous proclamations, that we begin a lot of meetings in Canada, like official meetings of boards of education or even some companies. We're meeting this afternoon on the unceded and traditional territory of the blah, blah, blah Indian tribe who have been there since time immemorial. Again, almost all of that's bullshit. They were, in most cases, not there from time immemorial. They might be 100 years. So that's not time immemorial. And the implication always is that we somehow ripped them off. We didn't. This is just a guilt.
I have a quick question,
Paul. Always start,
I'm going to ask you, it may be different in Canada, but here in the United States, I've never seen a hospital that was built by a Comanche Indian, Apache Indian, or a Northern Sioux Indian. I've never seen a hospital, a school, a bridge. I've never seen anything that was built by those people. Nothing whatsoever. And here in the United States, it wasn't the United States. The United States is a nation. It's created by white people for white people. I think it's the same way. Do you have any hospitals there or schools in Canada that were 150 years old, 200 years old, like Harvard, Yale, et cetera, that were started by these Indians? I mean, was penicillin discovered by an Indian? But, our medicine, our engineering, our mathematics, our law, everything we have that's good and wholesome here in the United States and in the world, built by white people, Paul. Back to you, Paul. It may be different there. Maybe the Indians have built.
Well, let's hang on to the facts. And, you're stating them really well, Eddie. I'll give the Indians credit for inventing snowshoes. That was an important way to adapt to the... I'm not kidding. And the game of lacrosse, and there were a few other, and moccasins made out of soft leather. They made some contributions, but
and quite
universities,
seriously,
electricity, yep. Roads.
Quite seriously, I have enjoyed things like moccasins and snowshoes and those things, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, we've run completely out of time. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed this hour. My beloved brother and sister from the formerly, once upon a time, the Great White North. And I'd like to say hello to you too, Kelly. So, dear Blood River Radio people, hang on your seat. We're going to transition to the third hour. We're going to pick up the bitter ender, the still bitter, more bitter than ever bitter ender, Gene Andrews with Confederate History. Be right back, folks. 5-minute break.